Welcome to the Shir in Ibn Ezra, Parshas Vayera. Wanted to start off the Shir talking about Ibn Ezra's interpretation of the word Yediya. You know, Yediya, of course, means to know something, Lodas. There's an interesting application of the term Yediya twice in Parshas Vayera, and we'll see how it applies later on in Chumash as well from Ibn Ezra's perspective, and we'll try to put everything together. So, in Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Chaf, the Ribbono Shel Olam comments on the bad things that seem to be emerging from stone. And the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Zaka Sedom Va'amora Ki Rabba, the cry that emerges from Sodom and Amorah seems to be great, and the sin of Sodom and Amorah appears to be very, very grievous, very heavy. Let me go down and see, continues HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if what they're doing is as bad as the reports that reach me, so to speak. In other words, if the outcry that's coming from the city really reflects everything that they're doing, you know, it's not just a PR job, you know, but it's really as bad as they say it is, kala, they will be destroyed. The imlo, but if not, a da'a. Then, literally, if not, then I will know. It's a very hard sentence to put together. What does that mean? The imlo, a da'a, right? And if not, so then I will know. How does that even translate? So Rashi translates as follows: Im omdim bemerdom kala ani osa bohem. If the people of Sodom are rebellious, so I will destroy them. That's the first part of the pasuk. Hakitzaka osa haboi lai osu kala. And then continues Rashi: Im lo yamdu bemerdom. Right? If they do not continue in their rebellion, in other words, if they are willing to pull back, to do tshuva on some level, Eid Oma Estel Hipara Mehem Bi Isurim Vloachale Osam. So then I will know what to do with them in terms of punishing them with some Yisurim, some torture of some sort, but I will not actually destroy the cities of stone. So, according to Rashi, you have to read a lot of extra words into the pasuk to make it intelligible. If the people of stone are as bad as I think they are, so then kala, they're going to be utterly destroyed. The imlo, if they're not as bad as I think they are, or they're willing to do tshuva, which, according to Rashi, I guess roughly translates as, I will consider how to punish them short of destroying them. I'll have to think about, you know, the best punishment to bring upon these people. That seems to be the sense one gets from the Targum Onkelos as well. Targum Onkelos says, Avid emahom gemera, I will utterly destroy them, imlo tayvin, if they do not do tshuva, v'im tayvin, but if they do tshuva, lo espira, then I will not extract total punishment from them. Right? How the Onkelos fits exactly into the word eidah, which means I will know, how that translates into I will not seek total punishment from them, again, on the surface, would seem to fit in with the interpretation of Rashi. Comes to Ibn Ezra, and he brings two different explanations of eidah, both of which are fascinating interpretations. So in the first interpretation, Vimlo Eida'a, says the Ibn Ezra, Arachem Osa. Eida'a means, I will have mercy and presumably spare the city of Sodom. So the way the Ibn Ezra would read the pasuk is as follows: Hakitzaka Osa Haba Eilai Osu. If it's as bad as it seems to be in Sodom, kala, they will be annihilated. The imlo, but if it's not as bad as that, a da'a, I will have mercy upon them. Now, if you translate a da'a as I will have mercy upon them, it's a very smooth reading of the pasuk. It's a much smoother reading than Rashi. I mean, Rashi has to stick all these extra words into the pasuk to make it work. The only fly in the ointment is, since when does a da'a, I will know them, mean that arachem, I will have pity upon them. You know, how does knowing and having mercy, having pity, how does that come out to be the same thing? So the Ibn Ezra, in support of this pshat, quotes another pasuk, halfway through Parshas Shmos, which we're likely familiar with in the Pesach Haggadah. V'chein yifrishu vayeda Elokim. Quotes the pasuk in Shmos Perek Beis, where it describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down on the suffering of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. And there the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees all their suffering. Vayara Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. Vayeda Elokim. Again, a pasuk which on the surface is an extremely difficult pasuk to translate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at what's happening to B'nai Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Vayeda Elokim. And Hashem knew. On the surface, you ask yourself, what do you mean? Hashem knew what? Right? What it sounds like there's something missing in the pasuk. Vayeda Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. What did he know? Right? So says the Ibn Ezra, no. Vayeda Elokim means it's the equivalent of Vayirachim Elokim. Kadosh Baruch Hu had mercy. So just as what the pasuk over there in Shmos means is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu saw Bnei Yisrael and Hashem had mercy. And of course we know the very next pasuk there in the Chumash is how the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, at the burning bush, and tells them to go down to Mitzrayim and to take the Jewish people out. So the flow of the psukim works very well according to the Ibn Ezra. Vayeda Elokim is Vayirachem Elokim. And so too over here, v'imlo eidah, if the people of Sodom are not as evil as the reports indicate that they are, eidah, I will have mercy upon them. How does knowing, how does yediyah imply a sense of mercy? See, here it would seem that this interpretation of Ibn Ezra draws on the fact that we know that this, all the Mefarshim indicate, that Yediyah can also be a lashon that relates to close, intimate relations between two parties. Right? Vayeda Adam is Chava Ishto, very beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Adam knew his wife Chava, right? We all understand that what's implied over there is marital relations. But the question is, okay, why would you use the term yediyah for marital relations? Yediyah means to know something. So apparently, there's a common denominator between knowing something and being close to someone. Yediyah in the sense of knowledge means that a bond has been formed between the person and the knowledge which that person now knows. In other words, I used to not know. I used to be unconnected to the idea that 2 plus 2 equals 4. But now, Baruch Hashem, I went to math remedial school and they taught me that 2 plus 2 equals 4. So now there's a yediyah, there's a connection that I have between me and that piece of information. Right? Knowledge means relationship. There's no such thing as knowledge without relationship. By the same token, marital relations between a husband and a wife is also about relationship. Comes the Ibn Ezra and he extends it one level beyond. Relationship, yediyah, any kind of meaningful relationship, is also about love and compassion. So, Vayeda Elokim, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship of yediyah to Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, that yediyah implies not knowledge, intellectual knowledge, but it means the forging of a relationship which is a compassionate relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have mercy on the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. So too over here by Sodom. V'im lo eida'a, right? If they're not as bad as I think they are, eida'a, the idea once again is all about mercy. So what we're suggesting is that the common denominator between knowing something, having marital intimacy and compassion, you know, the common denominator which between these three things, which is implied by the Shoresh, Yud-Dalet Ayin, Yediyah, means to forge a positive relationship. If I know something, I've forged a positive relationship with the knowledge. If I'm, you know, intimate with my spouse, so then there's a positive relationship forged there. And if there's mercy, so there's a positive relationship which is forged there as well. Right, so it's interesting, right? So according to Ibn Ezra, it comes out, Vayeda Elokim, maybe, I'm not sure, but maybe he would say it was Rachamim for Klal Yisrael, but it's Elokim, it was the Midas Hadin for the Mitzrayim. right? And certainly they were going to, you know, God's mercy on the Jewish people was going to turn out to be very severe punishment on the Egyptians. So maybe that's, you know, the two go together. Vayeda Elokim, it was Rachamim, but it was also Din, you know, from the Mitzrayim's perspective. So that's one fascinating pshat, you know, which exists over here. Now, let's take that before we see the second pshat in Ibn Ezra, and see two other places in Chumash, one in our Pasha, one a little bit later on, where the term Yediyah could be interpreted in that fashion, and I think lends a different perspective to the pasuk. At the end of the Akedah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Ata yodati ki yirei Elokim ata. Now I know that you are a yirei Elokim, right? That you are someone who fears God. And the question which we're going to see in the Ibn Ezra, but you know, it's a basic question, is what does it mean to say ato yodati from God's perspective? You know, now I know. Beforehand I didn't know. Now I know. Right? Now again, if we're talking about a human being, that's a reasonable thing to say. I used to not know this, now I do know this. But when you're talking about the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the Ribbon Shel Olam, the very statement that now I know, implying before I didn't know, is a difficult statement to parse with regard to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Same question here.
Right. Fim lo
ayda,
right. 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 Okay, so we'll get to that actually in the second pshat in Ibn Ezra, right? The first pshat in Ibn Ezra, the answer to that question in the context of stone, at least in terms of the word ayda, is ayda doesn't mean that God gains any new knowledge, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends rachamim, which was not there before, right? So also in the context... Right, so we'll see that a little bit more in the second pshat of Ibn Ezra, but I guess in terms of clarifying something, right? But you're right. I mean, let's hold that for the second pshat in Ibn Ezra for a moment. Let's go back to the Akedah, right? Ato yodati ki yirei Elokim ata. The way that Ibn Ezra's first pshat might translate this pasuk is as follows: I now have an extra degree of mercy towards you, Avraham Avinu, right? Ki yirei Elokim ata, right? Because it's clear that you're a yirei Elokim, that you're one who fears God in a way in which it was not quite as apparent before. You are now more deserving of my mercy, right? The term yediyah in describing the relationship between God and a human being also appears in Parshas Kisisa, in the encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Va'eda achav b'shem, I have known you with the shame Hashem," which again is a very difficult phrase to translate. What do you mean, "Va'eda achav b'shem"? Right, according to this pshat in the Ibn Ezra, one might interpret that phrase as "I have shown you mercy through the shame." And here, the point that Yaakov made before, you know, which shame is a shame of mercy? Well, the shame yudke vavke, va'eda achav b'shem, I have extended my mercies to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I forged this compassionate relationship with you, with the shame Hashem, with the shame yudke vavke. Right? Interesting way to, again, interpret psukim in a way in which we wouldn't necessarily have interpreted them before. But as interesting as this first pshat in Ibn Ezra is, the second pshat, I think, is even perhaps more interesting. And, you know, perhaps a little bit more controversial, so we'll try to understand it to the best of our ability. The Aldaiti says to Ibn Ezra what I just quoted about Yediyah equaling Rachamim. That's someone else's pshat. But Aldaiti, if you ask me, says to Ibn Ezra. What's that? Aldaiti, right, yeah. Perusho im osu kulam kiro hazos. When it says a da'a, it means let me check out if all of the Anshei Sdom are equally guilty. And here to the question that was raised before, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go down and check out what's going on in Sdom? You know, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have not been aware, right, which is what the pasuk implies? Says the Ibn Ezra, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aware of the fact that Sdom, generally speaking, was a city of evildoers, right? He knew that it was not a great place to hold a Shabbaton. You know, he understood that. However, it was not clear, or not as clear at that moment, that every single last person in Sdom was a Rasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu was aware of the rishus of the city in general terms, but it was not yet clear that every single last person was a Rasha. And apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu would only destroy the city if he could say that every last person is a Rasha, or at least close to it. Ki ha'emes she hakol yeda kol chelek al derech kol lo al derech chelek. Because the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything in a klaliistic way, in a general way, but not al derech chelek, not necessarily in a specific detail-oriented way. Now, let me say what it sounds like the Ibn Ezra is saying, and then we'll talk about why it's very hard to say that that's what the Ibn Ezra really means, and we'll suggest what I think the Ibn Ezra means over here. Right? What it sounds like the Ibn Ezra is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a yediya, he has a knowledge of what's going on in the world, v'derech klal, in general terms, but there has to be, you know, it's not an immediate yediya of what's happening v'derech prat on a individual level. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he was going to do with regard to Sodom is as follows. I know there are a bunch of Rishayim, generally speaking. Let me go and investigate whether what's true of the klal is true of every prat, of every individual in Sodom. V'imlo, right? In other words, if they're not individually as bad as I thought they were, let me become aware of that. Now, of course, if we were to take that literally, you know, not only is that very, very difficult theologically, but even logically, it's very difficult. It's theologically very difficult because Yisod of our Emunah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yodei HaKol, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything that goes on in the world, not just B'derech Klal, but B'derech Prat as well. But it's also difficult logically to explain that Ibn Ezra literally, if that's what Ibn Ezra means. Because look at the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to go down and see what's going on in Sdom. So whatever going down means, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly can become aware of the pratim, of what individuals are doing. There just has to be a redirected focus. What does that mean? You know, what does it mean from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective to generally be aware of the klal, but then to make a conscious decision to focus in on the prat? What does that mean? So what I think the Ibn Ezra is getting at over here is something which is expressed by many other Rishonim. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim writes this way, the Ramban in this week's Pasha writes this way, the Malbim Keseder writes this way in many, many interpretations in Tanakh. There's a machlokas balei machshava in general. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha pratis? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has what we call hashkacha klolis, that he oversees the affairs of the world in a general sense. What is the extent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha pratis? Hashkacha pratis, meaning literally, to what extent does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get involved in the affairs of every single individual as an individual? We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world in general terms. He determines what the fate of countries and Medinos is going to be. V'ha Medinos bo yeyomer, ezel acherav, ezel arav. To what extent does HaKadosh Baruch Hu micromanage the affairs of every individual? So here, the many Rishonim, again, we mentioned the Rambam, the Ramban, the Malbim, it's not a Rishon, but he assumes this way many places. These Rishonim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not get involved with Derech Klal, with the individual, unless that individual is a Baal Madrega. The person is a great tzaddik, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his Hashkacha Pratis to that person. If the person's an ordinary guy, you know, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu may or may not extend his Hashkacha Pratis to that person. Right? But Hashkacha Pratis is something which is limited to a select number of people. The world HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs with Hashkacha Klolis, right? He definitely is involved in the affairs of the world in general terms, but for every individual. In other words, when you woke up this morning and you were running out of the house and you stubbed your toe, was that, you know, a maisa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu predetermined, or was that something that, you know, was determined by mazel or teva, whatever you want to call it? So the Rambam would say, if you're a very big tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer that you would stub your toe. If you're not such a big tzaddik, so you stubbed your toe because you stubbed your toe. What's that? And Adam Nokeh it's Romi Lamata, LMK, you know, Mal Gozer Romi Lamala. Right. So again, you have to interpret the Gemaras, because they're Gemaras that go in both directions. You have to interpret the Gemaras.
Theologically, that's also a very problematic position to say that. I mean, it's almost as bad as saying that Ashkacha Prophet is not Ashkacha Prophet. I mean,
no, so
limiting the Ashkacha Prophet is something which is.
No, so the difference between that and what Ibn Ezra on the surface seems to be saying is as follows. To say that there is only Yediyah Klolis, in other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only aware of, generally speaking, what's going on in the world, is very theologically problematic, because to limit the Yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities, which, again, clearly is very problematic theologically. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to engage in Hashkacha Klolis and doesn't always choose to engage in Hashkacha Pratis is not limiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities in any way whatsoever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can choose to extend the Hashkacha as much as he wants. He extends it to tzaddikim, he can extend it to individuals, but he doesn't always choose to do so. In other words, you can't say something which is going to limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities in any way. It's a very problematic statement. But to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his Hashkacha some of the time, but other times it allows the world to run based on Teva, that theologically is, you know, again, a position of many Rishonim.
If that was the case, should we really take the
book of
every single day?
No, so we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible. In other words, even if we're, you know, our ability to take care of ourselves is based on Teva, it's an amazing thing that we have that ability. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Teva and it works. Well, just natural is the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, right? And it's the Nishta Kleina Zach, you know, that a person is able to do that. Right? So the peach grew on the tree, right? Did the peach grow on the tree for me specifically? You know, according to this Hashkafa, not necessarily. But it's an incredible thing that we have such a thing as a peach. You know, Bari Priyo Eitz, right? What's that? Right, no, but again, don't dismiss Teva. Teva is an incredible thing. I mean, the truth is, on some level, the fact, you know, from a human perspective, again, this is beyond our real comprehension, but on a human perspective, if you make a machine that functions by itself, even without my having to be intimately involved every single moment, that's a tremendous testimony to the chachma of the Creator, right? To make something that I can turn it on, you know, I put my car in cruise control, and I sit back, and I, you know, just do whatever, and it goes, right? So that's a tremendous, yeah.
Yes. Isn't that quite self-serving to say that only a certain madrega is that Hashem only intervenes if a person's on a certain madrega?
Self-serving to whom?
To the people who are on that madrega, if human they are.
Well,
I mean,
let me put it differently. It's definitely a big incentive to get to that madrega, right?
Maybe, and also, yes, but then this is a principle, I'm not sure I'm right, but the principle is that every everyday man, Jew, Jewish person, everyday man, Jewish person is on the same footing.
Let's put it this way. Everybody has the potential to be on the same footing.
Okay.
You know? All men are created equal, but some are created more equal than others, right? In other words, everyone has the potential to be on the same footing. But if everybody's mamish on the same footing, so the truth is that really is communism. That takes away any incentive for the person to try to be a Baal Madrega. You know, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva, everybody has the ability to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's true. But not everybody is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? In other words, if everybody is Moshe Rabbeinu, so then why should I strive to be better? We're all mamish the same from a religious perspective, right? We all are born with the same potential, but you know, it's not true that everybody's on the same madrega. Yes.
Right,
it will be Telchoy Mubikari. Right.
That's
God's Right, so I'll throw in the following, then I'll just be Masbid the Ebenezer, then we'll dive in Ma'ariv, and then we'll continue a little bit after Ma'ariv, but I'll throw the following in, which I think is a good. I once asked my Rebbe, Rav Meir Twersky, so I said, so according to the Rambam, so if a bad thing, you know, the Gemara says, Oro Adam, she's Surin Boy in Allah, Yafashvish B'maisuf, right? A person sees that bad things are happening to him, so he should do tshuva. So according to the Rambam, why is that true? And according to the Rambam, right, and if a person who's not a great tzaddik is subject to Hashkacha Klolis, and maybe subject to Teva, and not necessarily subject to Hashkacha Pratis, so then, the only people who should be doing tshuva when kishehim roin she yisurin boin aleihem are tzaddikim. But the regular guy, if imroin she yisurin boin alav, should just say, "Oh, I guess it's a bad day, right?" In other words, why should that prompt him to do tshuva? So his response was, "You have to do tshuva that you're not on a madrega that you're zocha to hashkodesh baruch hu hashkacha pratis. That's what you have to do tshuva on, right?" Let me just bring that back to the Ibn Ezra for a moment. So the Ibn Ezra is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, before I destroy stone, a da'a, let me look at the pratim of stone. What that means, I think, according to Ibn Ezra, as follows. Ordinarily, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly when dealing with Rishoyim like stone, would only deal with them with Hashgacha Klawis. Meaning, if in general terms, this is a bad city, that's it, I'm going to destroy them. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to do a favor to the Amshei stone. Let me not destroy them on the basis of Hashkacha Klolis alone, on the basis of the fact that in general terms they're a bad city. Let me look at each individual prat, every individual in stone. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gained Yediyah which he didn't have before, but let me look at every individual prat and see if the people as individuals are Re'uyim to be destroyed, or fit to be destroyed. That's a tremendous chesed on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could have just said, you know, you're a lousy bunch of people generally. What do I care about the fact that there's, you know, three guys in Tomchei Shabbos in stone? Yeah, okay, so they'll be destroyed with everybody else, you know. I mean, there are 5,000, you know, Rishoyim and three guys keeping up Tomchei Shabbos. Okay, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chemloso went into stone and said, if there are taka, three guys with keeping up, you know, Tomchei Shabbos. Right, and that's how Avraham Avinu comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying to Avraham Avinu is, I made that cheshbon already. I made that cheshbon already. You know, in other words, in Emso B'Stom, you know, Arboyamish, if I find that there are pratim, so I will save the city. You know, because I'm not going to just destroy them on the basis of Hashkacha Klolis. I'm going to use Hashkacha Pratis as the yardstick for determining whether or not to destroy stone. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up after Ma'ariv with the second Ibn Ezra, and we'll see it there. Okay, so the second part of the Ibn Ezra Shir in Parshas Vayera. Wanted to speak about the incident with Avram and Avimelech. From the Ibn Ezra's perspective, we know that, again, in Perek Chof, it describes how Avram and Sarah go to Gror, and Avram says that really Sarah is my sister. Avimelech, the king of Gror, takes Sarah into his harem. Nothing happens, but after, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avimelech in a dream and says, you know, you shouldn't touch this woman. She's a married woman. So the pasuk says, pasuk yud, "Vayomer Avimelech al Avram, Moro iso ki asiso es hadavar hazeh." You know, why don't you tell me? I mean, you know, you go around saying she's my sister. She's not really your sister. She's your wife. Vayomer Avram. So Avram says, first of all, ki amarti rak en yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'araguni al dvar ishti. If I were to say that she was my wife, so I know that people here have no fear of God, they'd kill me and they'd take this woman. you know, so as not to take a married woman. That's number one. So that's why I didn't say that she's my wife. And by the way, it's not entirely incorrect that she's my sister, right? She is my sister. She's my sister, the son of my father. She's just not she's the daughter of my father. She's just not the daughter of my mother. Right? So this woman, who's my half-sister, became my wife. Right? So, is that indeed true? I mean, it's the first time in Chumash we ever heard that Avram and Sarah are half-sisters. Right? So, the one interpretation which Rashi alludes to over here goes back to a discussion we had at the end of Parashas Noach. If Sarah is indeed the Yiska who's referred to in the end of Parashas Noach, you know, that Yiska is the daughter of Nachor, right? So then it comes out that she's actually his niece, right? So that would make them related. Now, it wouldn't make them half brother and half sister. It would make them uncle and niece. So Rashi comments on that. Im tomar halobas achiv hoisa, right? She was the daughter of Avram's brother Nachor. She wasn't. I'm sorry.
Haran.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Right. If she was the daughter of Haran, right? So then she was the daughter of his brother. B'nei bonim arem kebonim, right? So we know that children, grandchildren are like grandchildren. Farehi bito shel Terach, right? And Haran was the son of Terach. So Yisko was the granddaughter of Terach. And that's what Avraham Avinu was saying in this pasuk. Achosi bas avihi, she's not my sister, she's my niece, but she's the daughter of my grandfather, right? So in other words, to call her my sister, it may not be literally true, but it's sort of true. In other words, it happens to be sort of true, you know, in a certain sense, that she is my sister. A niece could be referred to as a sister, right? Says the Ibn Ezra, after quoting this opinion, he doesn't attribute it to Rashi, he says, Yesh omrim shehu kamo elokei ovi Avraham, right? When Yaakov Avinu refers to the God of my father Avraham, Yaakov Avinu's father is not Avraham, Yaakov Avinu's grandfather is Avraham, but nonetheless, he can use the term Ovi. So says the Ibn Ezra, V'anochon be'enai shidocha avimelech b'dvarim kefitzarech hasha'a. Right? Nah, I don't, you know, forget about it. You don't have to try to explain that Avraham Avinu really is the brother of Sarah on some level, not the brother, not the uncle. Don't go down that derech, says the Ibn Ezra. You know why Avraham Avinu said to Avimelech that she's my sister? She wasn't his sister on any level, but he didn't want to get killed, right? Now that's why he said it was a convenient excuse. It was not true on any level, and he was entitled to say that. And the pasuk of Anochi Esav B'Chorecha and Parshas Toldos, I will bring other examples of this phenomenon. So if you look at Anochi Esav B'Chorecha, again, that's where in Parshas Toldos, when Yaakov comes before Yitzchak, Yitzchak asks him, "Who are you?" And he says, "Anochi Esav B'Chorecha, I am Esav." So we know, you know, there's a basic question over there. How is Yaakov allowed to lie? Right? So there's a famous Rashi. Rashi says there was a pregnant pause in Anochi Esav B'Chorecha. Anochi, I'm Yaakov. Esav B'Chorecha, just in case you were wondering and you forgot, you know, your firstborn happens to be Esav. Right? Rashi quotes from Chazal like that. Comments to Ibn Ezra. Yesh Omrim Chalila L'Chazev Hanavi. God forbid that a Navi should lie. Rak hu kein. This is what Yaakov Avinu said when he came into Yitzchak. Anochi, Misha Anochi, I am who I am. Ve'esav v'chorecha. Anochi kama esav v'chorecha. V'acherim amru, others say, ki benachas amar Anochi, v'nosla ko b'milas esav v'chorecha. Others say, the Ibn Ezra say the following. You know how Yaakov Avinu delivered his lines when he came before Yitzchak? He said, Anochi. Esav b'chorecha. Right? So that could be understood, again, along the similar lines, you know, Esav is b'charecha, and I happen to be Anochi, and by changing his pitch, he wasn't technically lying. The Eile Divrei Ruach, says the Ibn Ezra, I don't buy any of this whatsoever. Right? And he goes on to say as follows. Apparently what was the Ibn Ezra's understanding of what was bothering the this line of interpretation was not just that Yaakov was lying, but how could a Navi lie? Right? Because their understanding, the way that Ibn Ezra seems to say it, is that a Navi can, if a Navi lies, a Navi is a Navi Sheker. Right? So maybe ordinary people can lie under certain circumstances. We know Chazal tell us that much of the Shanas Mabeh HaShalom, that for the sake of peace, one is allowed to lie, right? But that shouldn't apply to Nevi'im. Nevi'im have to be truthful in everything they say. And comes the Ibn Ezra there and he says, not true. It's true that when a Navi is given a Dvar Hashem, he has to convey that Dvar Hashem faithfully and, you know, not lie, not misrepresent what Hashem is telling him, but the same heter of mutar l'shanos b'pnei HaShalom that applies to every ordinary person applies equally to a Navi. A Navi is also allowed in his interpersonal life to tell a lie when it's halachically appropriate to do so. And again, we have examples of being able to lie which are halachically appropriate. Let me give you a bunch of examples where Nevi'im tell lies, right? David HaMelech is a Navi, right? But yet, he's not quite honest when he goes to Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol at that time, as referenced in Sefer Shmuel, right? And, Chein Omer Avram v'gam Omna, when Avram, says the Ibn Ezra, speaks to Avimelech in this week's Parsha, and he tells this whole story about Sarah being his sister, it's absolutely not true, right? She's not his sister on any level. Again, if you recall, at the end of Parshas Noach, we saw how the Ibn Ezra argues on the identification of Sarah with Yiska, right? He says they're two different people, in which case you don't have any source in the Chumash whatsoever for saying that Avram and Sarah were related by blood before they became related by marriage. Another example is also from this week's Parsha of where a Navi lies or says something false because of the idea of Mutal Shanas Mnei HaShalom. V'nishtachavev v'nashuvo aleichem. Avram Avinu is accompanied by his servants to Har Moriah with Yitzchak, and he says, V'yomer al ne'arav, shvulachem poim achamar, you guys stay over here, v'ani v'anar ne'elchad ko, I'm going to go with Yitzchak to the mountain, v'nishtachavev v'nashuvo aleichem, we're going to just, you know, worship and then come back to you. Now that happens to have been true, as it turns out. But Avram Avinu probably didn't realize that at the time. And at the time, Avram Avinu was thinking that he was going to go to Har Moriah, sacrifice Yitzchak, and we would not come back with Yitzchak. So what's he telling the Ne'arim? V'nishtachavev v'nashuvah aleichem. Answers the Ibn Ezra, yeah, it's right. It's, you know, Avram Avinu was not being totally honest over there. But it's okay. In other words, Avram Avinu, had he told the Ne'arim, yeah, I'm just going to go with Yitzchak to Har Moriah, shechtim, and you know, I'll see you in a bit, right? So who knows? They may have tried to stop him. You know, they may have tried to interfere in some way. He saw that the moment demanded a less than honest response, right? Al pidin mutar l'shanos b'nei HaShalom. There are times where you're allowed to not tell the truth. And says the Ibn Ezra, that's the yisod which we have to, you know, understand over here in terms of all these statements. Well, he goes with Shnei Ne'arav, but at a certain point he tells the Ne'arim, you guys stay here, and Yitzchak and I will go on. So it's just Yitzchak and Avraham Avinu at that point. They're just by themselves. Right? Yeah, so, you know, there's a famous Maimon Chazal that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshana B'Pnei HaShalom. Right? So the Ibn Ezra is working off of all of that. It sounds like what's bothering the Ibn Ezra is, again, it's not so much the idea that you can be Mishana B'nei HaShalom, because that's the Maimer Chazal, but how could a Navi be Mishana B'nei HaShalom? Shouldn't the Navi have to be truthful in everything he says? His response to that to Ibn Ezra, no, a Navi has to be faithful in recounting Nevuah, but in a non-Nevuah context, he follows the same dinim that everybody else follows, right? So it's an interesting Ibn Ezra you know, which is consistent, you know, here. You know, you don't have to faren for Anochi Esav v'charecha. No, you know, Yaakov Avinu was allowed to lie, you know, given the circumstance, whatever the heter was, you know, that he saw that Esav getting the brachos would be a tremendous calamity for Klal Yisrael and for the whole world. You know, under those circumstances, you're allowed to lie, and that's the heter that Yaakov Avinu had. That's the heter Yaakov Avinu had to deceive his father. And, you know, we don't have to try to tiptoe around that issue and to present them as if, you know, they weren't really lying, they weren't 100% lying. No, you know, it was an out-and-out falsehood, but sheker sometimes turns out to be emes, you know, depending on what the circumstances happen to be. Okay, we'll pick up next week. That's
the same.
What's that? Yeah?
That he lied and he wasn't the same.
See, it's hard to read that. I mean, it's hard to read that into the simple pshat of the psukim.
Right.
Okay. Well, so he's also Rama, you know.
Right.
Right. Right. No, I hear what you're saying. Again, the right. 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 I mean, the Ibn Ezra l'chol hapachos, you know, is you know, very much, you know, justifying the actions. Okay. Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer Rasa Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Zakus is Yisrael. The Fikach Yirbo Lahem Tzara Mitzvos. Shemem Ha'Adamai Chofes. Ma'am Sidko Yag.